the noumenon in relationship to absolute. 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 N-O-U-M-E-N-O-N.
Right.
Noumenon in relationship to absolute. This is Dr. Harold Varley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. I'm sorry?
I thought there was a hole in the tape.
Well, no, it's just sort of a repetitive topic. The noumenon in relation to absolute. Now, the question is often asked by people who don't have a dictionary in their fingertips or in their brains, and so, what in the living life does noumenon mean? And I asked Professor Dr. Ellen Jeremini what she meant by the question or statement, the noumenon is in relationship to absolute. And she said, well, noumenon means that which is only comprehended by thought. But she didn't say that. She just said, only comprehended by thought. But the noumenon really means that which is only comprehended by thought. So in other words, the noumenon in relation to the absolute are only those ideas that are comprehended by thought that have existence in the absolute. But they don't have existence in the absolute. There is no thought in the absolute. We oftentimes would like to think that the absolute is the ultimate of the relative life. And the absolute is the total different, total opposite of the relative life. The relative life is becoming, it's being, it's expressing, it's living, it's changing, it's ever, ever, ever being different, one instant from another. And absolute, on the other hand, is always the same. It is, the allness, the nothingness. It is that which is indefinable. And that's why we can define it so easily. A few words define the absolute, but a few words could not begin to define the relative, could they? The relative is so diverse and so unique and so imaginative that it just, boggles the mind. But absolute is very simple. Absolute is allness, isness, nothingness, reality. Now, what do those words mean? Just what they say. Allness means there is everything that exists or doesn't exist or will exist, exists presently in absolute. In absolute, there is no tomorrow, there is no yesterday, there is no now, there's only the is. You see, even now has a tense with it. It has a time with it. It has its own with it. But the allness, the isness, the absolute is timeless. Now, these are thoughts, these are noumenons, which describe these things, but they don't do a good job. They only sort of point to it. They only allude to what it is. Because in your imagination right now, you'd be very hard put to come up with the thought that this is the allness. How would you describe it and do a good job? How would you describe the allness and include all? the allness is not that stupid. It does not try to describe what it consists of. It just consists of all. And if it were to begin to describe what it consists of, then it would be those things that it consists of that would make up it, and it would not be the allness because it would never get done enumerating what it consists of. These are all sort of convoluted terms, convoluted ideas. Dear friend Rhonda is a master at convoluted statements. I know I listen to her and I just feel like I'm in a magic tunnel of fantastic experiences that are utterly amazing. And perhaps it's quite true. But the ability to do this, the ability to exist in the allness, ability to exist in the isness, the ability to exist in any of these aspects is rather remarkable. Very remarkable. Now, some of you listened to the telephone ringing, and you thought to yourself, the telephone's ringing. And your mind was diverted from absolute thinking to the telephone. And then you thought, I wonder who it might be on the telephone. Now, is it going to be somebody that we know, or someone who's trying to sell us something, as so many people do with the marketing, telemarketing these days? Or what is it? Maybe one of our students calling, wanting to get some love and direction in their studies, or whatever it may be. Well, do we have permission to concentrate on absolute? Do we have permission to take our attention at any one moment and zero in on this wonderful aspect of our being? Certainly we do. Do we take permission to do it? No. No. Everybody immediately thinks, who's on the phone? Who's calling? What's it all about? And zip, we are away from thinking about absolute. We're away from thinking about the noumenon, about the thought that allness, isness, oneness, wholeness, purity, all these beautiful things. And then we ask ourselves, now, we'd like to express the allness. We'd like to express the isness. We'd like to express the absolute. I am trying to teach myself to leave the word the from absolute, because absolute doesn't have a the. It's just like saying God, and then the God. Well, that's the God of the Jews, the God of the Christians, you know, the God of the Arabic people, the God of Islams, the God of the Chinese, the God of the Indians of India. Well, you know, my goodness, the God. And really, that God should be lowercase, and the universal God should be capitalized. But it's just the opposite. The universal God, which has no the before it, it has no adverb or adjective to describe it, it exists in the lowercase. And how fascinating. And certainly, we have been in the habit of writing absolute in caps, merely to make it stand out from saying, oh, you are absolutely gorgeous. Oh, you are, it was an absolutely wonderful day. Or, it is just absolute, I tell you, you know. Like the term the kids like to use, awesome. Oh, Dad, awesome. You know, it's cool. It's really, you know, got it. And this is what happens. Now, Christina, can you tell me what would, in your mind, be the awesome? It's awesome, Dad. Well, awesome what? The what? The awesome what? And you say, well, it's not a the awesome. It's just awesome. It's without imagination. It's without description. It's beyond anything we can consider. Must be talking about absolute. You know, must be talking about something super califragilisticexpialidocious. Must be fantastic. But you see, this is where we get in trouble. We of our relative mind always want to give an adjective to something. In the south wind. Well, now, when did you ever define the south wind as being in a particular place at a particular time, having a particular volume, having a particular speed? The wind that blows from the south, the south wind, has many ramifications to it. On the outer edges of it, it doesn't move as fast as it does in the center, and part of the center is going upward, and the outer sides are going one way or another. They're almost like a cyclone, but they're moving along, whirling around, you know, south wind. You think the south wind always blows straight, or any wind blows straight. Well, it doesn't. It has a convoluted path that is quite marvelous. You look up to the sky sometime and just ask yourself, how straight are these clouds blowing? For your objection, for your objectivity, or your seeing of it as an object, you think it's going along straight because so many miles it's going straight, but you don't know when it's going to hit a mountain, when it's going to hit a lake, when it's going to hit some updraft or some downdraft to change it. And you say, well, that's not what it is. What's that?
Or when it dissolves.
Dissolves? Yeah, that's true too. It dissolves. Or when the wind loses its power, and it just ceases to have power. The wind, you know. That's a specific wind that loses its power. But we do these things. However, we should really follow what the dictionary says. They say the God of the Hebrews is a capital G. The God of the Christians is a capital G. Any specific God is capitalized because that's a pronoun for the God itself. And here we're saying absolute to absolute, and we're capitalizing it. That's an interesting idea. It does not belong that way, but we are doing that. But of course, I am attempting, not attempting, I am teaching in my philosophy the idea that we have a new way of looking at things, a new language. We are going to consider the allness, verstehe? Mm-hmm. The allness, the isness, the nothingness. We're going to consider each as a capitalized concept, because each is a concept of capitalization. Now, when you say, which God do you believe in? You say lowercase because it is not a specific God. When you say, do you believe in the God of the Christians? And then it's capitalized because it's a specific God, the God of the Christians. So when we say, do you believe in the absolute? What do you mean by that? Is that a capitalized word? Is that a specific absolute that we're dealing with? Well, let me suggest to you, as strange as this may seem, there is only one absolute. There is only one God. There is only one allness. How many allnesses can you think of? The allness here, the allness there. It's one allness includes all that is. It's one allness. And one absolute. And one is. You say, well, everything is an is. The putty knife, the table knife, the rocket heater here. All these things are an is. Well, yes, they are concepts. And as a concept, they have apparent reality. But they're not an is. What makes up an is? An is, and why is there only one is? As there's only one allness, as there's only one absolute. Isn't it interesting? It's an interesting concept. Why is there only one? Because there cannot be two. Can you imagine having two universal gods that are in charge of whatever? Can you imagine that? You can't. Can you imagine there's two of the is? Whatever the is. And what is the is? Anyone want to give me a little word for it? The all. And what is the is? The nothing. There's only one nothingness, one nothing, and there's only one all, and there's only one is, and it gives us a new look at these things, but it's very, very fascinating. Think about these things. They're kind of fun. They're kind of fun to consider what life really is, what allness really is, what the isness really is. Kind of fun. And we come up with the concept of what? We come up with the concept that we are that allness, that is, that absolute. And you say, well, I don't look much like the absolute. Well, how do you know what the absolute looks like? How do you know what the absolute looks like? The one absolute. That's a new way of looking at the thing. One absolute, one is, one all. Think about that. It's kind of fun. The noumenon in relationship to absolute. The thought in relation to the all. How does it have any purpose? How does it have any definition? How does it have anything that we can think about? It's a fun thing to play with. Not terribly important, but it's a fun thing to play in. because it doesn't matter what we think. It is what it is. We are not going to change it because we think we can change it. We may think of it one way or another and coming aware of what we're thinking about, but it's always going to be just what it is. So let this be that your thought prepares you for the allness, the isness. Your thought prepares you. Are you ready? I'm ready. And I think it's lots of fun. I love you. I love you. I love you.